So, Sweeney, you're an elder at Kanish Church, and it's great. I know for many people here, well, some of us have had the privilege of being able to go over there, but I just thought it'd be great for us to welcome them properly with a big round of applause. Welcome, so very well. So, without much further ado, I'm going to hand over to you guys and let you come in.
Good morning, everybody. It's really quite great to be here. There is just one thing, if you don't mind me saying that. We've just come back from your cousin church. Shall it be your cousin church? Borden? Sister? Yeah, whatever you want. And I really just want to encourage you, because I remember when we were planted out as a church called Kanyisa from Jubilee Community Church, that some of the Sunday mornings, just pop in and go to Borden, you know, some of you. Because I remember that meant a lot to us when people from Jubilee still came to the church as we were planted out. Because sometimes it can be quite lonely, you know. You know, there's the Farnham Church, and then here we are, the Borden Church. So pop around and be family. Yes, they're small and they're starting out, but they still need your support and they need your prayers. So I want to encourage you at the same time, also challenge you to a couple of Sundays so now and again. Obviously, you always want to tell your pastor. But do that, because they're really amazing community. We were quite blessed just being there with them. But greetings from Kanyisa at the same time.
Can you hear all of me? Yeah. Great. So good to be here this morning. I bring greetings from a wonderful part of the world where it's probably 32 degrees right now. And we've chosen to come here. And 3 degrees? 4 degrees? Something like that? I'm not so sure. But it's been great. It's been fantastic actually being here. We've been well looked after by friends. And they know who they are, just follow my eyes. In fact, one of the things I just want to just mention is just to say that I just want to say thank you to all of you. You've been such a blessing to us in Cape Town. You guys have blessed us. I know that at least we're going to be stealing two of your people here. I'm saying that by faith. I expect more and more to be stolen in the future. So, but I mean that. I mean that with all honesty, with all seriousness. And thank you for the ongoing support that you give to us. The Kanyisa, can I use one of these? Yeah. Okay. And in fact, let me just give you just a bit of what's been happening at our church. Firstly, we started our very first Alpha course last year, and that was after pushed and tried to kind of say, yeah, this can happen. You know, I'm saying this because Alpha is not an African thing, but it was born and bred and developed here in the UK, particularly amongst the Anglicans. And so over the years, I've kind of had this yearning to say, come, let's do Alpha. See what happens. And God has literally blessed us. I mean, up to about 15 people got saved last year just by running one Alpha course. And the amazing thing around that is that you have, those of you who've been know that in Cape Town there are three dominant languages. So it's Afrikaans, Xhosa, and English. And so at Kanyisa we've just been pushing these two languages, English is Xhosa, in our services. In fact, if I was preaching now, there would be someone next to me mimicking exactly what I'm doing. So if I'm saying, then they say this, I'm writing out, etc. Because of that, God has added another language dimension to us, which is now, when you come and visit us, you know, you have three languages happening all at the same time. And that speaks to the expanding work that God is doing within Kanyisa, Kukulethu, Malenbeck. Various other places. So that was quite something. I did continue to do that. In fact, we had baptisms just when we felt it's now December, it's getting hot. And then we had a few people being baptized, and that was great. I had the privilege of baptizing my own kids as well, which was fantastic. So we had so many people being baptized, in and out, in and out, in and out. That was great. And we're hoping more and more could happen. So if you continue to pray for us, that would be fantastic. Also, just to reiterate again, I mean, I think we received your support here, and I Sean and the elders, so thanks very much. Just going to say that because God called us to do this ministry, which is kind of reaching out to those who are suffering of HIV and AIDS. But with that, there's not only just, giving information or praying for the sick, but it's also following our people, feeding them, giving them everything that happens, when people are displaced, basically in their families. And so the organization, Zandla, continues to work with other organizations and the municipality. And so we've been really, really, really grateful. So continue to pray for us as we do that. I also just want to say as well, I mean, if you have the moment and you have the time, if you go to our Facebook, Kanisa Community Church Facebook, and then if you just keep going, you will come across a video clip where one of our leaders, Kolile, under the work during Toizanga, is doing it. Basically, he's trying to say, how do we envision young people to look ahead to the future? So he managed to get about four or five five schools into our auditorium, squeeze them in, and then envision them about where they want to be in terms of their studies and everything else. So there's a video clip there, so if you have a moment, see what God is doing. There's much more that God is going to be doing in the coming year. A quick one here. In terms of the spheres, we've got ourselves now into what is known as the regions beyond. And so God is really exposing us to all sorts of things in terms of where we're going forward. So this morning I just want to briefly just encourage you guys. Say perhaps maybe five things, and just to encourage you as just kick off 2015. There are some things that God has laid into my heart, probably on your heart as well, as we go forward, because you ought to be prepared when 2015 comes. Shall we pray, shall we? Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you for bringing us, Lord, into this place and for having such great fellowship with you. We pray, Lord, as 2015 begins, Lord, that we'll start really with a solid foundation, which is you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, anything that we're going to be doing in this year, it doesn't matter what it is, whatever it is, I want us to be reminded in this year that whatever it is, we are going to be giving glory to God. So, whatever Christians do with their lives, whether we eat, drink, or whether you're running a company, or you are teaching little kids, or even if you're busy changing diapers, we aim to do it to the glory of God. So whatever you're going to be embarking on in this year, as the year kicks off, it is not outside what God wants you to do. It's all towards his glory. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, 31, so whether you eat, drink, or whatever you do, do it to the glory of our God. So even the habits that we begin to pick up for ourselves, the habits, whatever they may be, they should be Christ exalting. And we about, whatever we do, we seek to glorify Christ, to exalt Him, to make Him known in whatever we do, even in our thinking. So even when you sit and you plot and you think, okay, so what am I going to do, or is this right? It is within giving the glory to God. So if you have a project that you're thinking of doing, or if you're thinking of doing something, just center it to say, how is this going to be God glorified? How am I going to move from here and then take it forward? And God seeks to be glorified in everything that you are doing today. So this year, 2015 kicks off. I mean, you've got plans. Be reminded that those plans should be seeking glory to God. Number two, the most important book you will read this year is your Bible. This, to me, is probably the one thing that I would like us to get away with as we leave this place today. You know, we live in a world where this internet, you know, is Kindle, this electronic media, and I mean, everything, I was kind of thinking that everything is probably here now, which will replace paper. It's information is made so easy that you can read a book without going, I mean, you know the story. You don't have to go to a bookshop anymore. You can get the book coming quickly to you, just like that. There's so much information going on. Some of us are blogging, others, we spend so much, there's so much information. I wake up with too much information hitting me left, right, and center. Now, when that happens, which is fine, I mean, there's no problem with that. The only danger is that they're spending time reading the Bible, spending time listening to what God is saying, can actually be, you know, be under threat, because you've got all these other things that are coming. They're coming fast, quick. There's so much information that you're not actually prioritizing reading the Word of God. And that if you want to make 2015 a meaningful year, one of the things that perhaps that should be done is to plan, is to how you do. Just like when you plan your meals. Some of us are on a diet plan, not me, obviously not. but some people are on a diet plan, they plan, they're going to do this, they're going to do that, etc. In a similar way, we should be planning how we're going to dwell in the Word of God and spend a bit of time in going that and soaking in Scripture so that something will happen. Now, one writer says, a proverb, John Piper says, let us labor to memorize the Word of God for worship and for warfare. He goes on to say, if we don't wear it, in other words, if we don't take the Word of God, we can't wield it. If we do not carry it in our heads, we cannot save it in our hearts or will it in the spirit. Such is the importance of it. In fact, let me just spend a bit of time on this one. Just give you just three more points. One, when reading the Word of God, let's remind it that here, there is a God. We are, in fact, interacting with God, who loves us, who cares, and who is personal. This God that we serve is a personal God. It's not some force out there that is so removed, but it's a personal God. Even if God is in three persons, He is this one God. We worship one God in Trinity, in unity. He is this one powerful God, the creator of the entire universe. He is just one God who comes to us and meets with us. In fact, the Bible goes on in Colossians, and we're talking about this God through Jesus Christ, who came and dwelt amongst us through Jesus. Now, this creator God, this big God, this God who created the heavens and earth by commanding His word, dwells amongst us. He is personal God. He's a God who becomes personal. And reading the word of God becomes that which connects us with God. even right now, as you're sitting here, right now, just as we're sitting, listening, he is working within you now, and he's listening to you, and he's slowly coming to you in his presence. I mean, when we sing worship songs here, we're experiencing the presence of God. He's present right now as we speak. Now, we pick up the word of God and we read, and suddenly realize he is not far away, but he's actually coming close. I mean, there used to be a song, I know the singer, and I'd rather not mention who she is, but I used to be unhappy when she used to sing that, God is watching us from a distance. You know that song? God is watching you from a distance. I used to become a little bit unhappy because I don't think that God is watching me from a distance. He is with me now. Yeah. Distance between Cape Town and Farnham, that's distance. That's definitely distance because you can calculate it, you know, for those who can. But I don't have a distant relationship with God. I've got a personal relationship with him. And when I pick up the word of God and I interact with him, I experience a personal God. So, be reminded of that. Yes, there certainly is a God. Secondly, God speaks to us through his book. He speaks to us. If you're going to be looking for anything happening in 2015, spending time in his word is probably the way to go. He is making his ways known to us through his word. He is a God who, this Bible that you have, is inspired. In other words, when I say it's inspired, it means it is the breath of God, it is holy, gives us what God really wants us to do. So don't be a stranger here. Plan it, infuse it into your life. Lastly, God speaks to these people like me, like you, like all of us. He speaks, he has this ability of speaking to you. Now this is where I'm beginning to get excited. Now if God gets to be this creator God, this big God, who commanded the existence of heavens and earth, there shall be light and everything else, that same God is able to speak directly to me. You know? And sometimes it's not like, oh, come my child, come to me now. He actually speaks to me in a still small voice. And he reaches out to me. And if we neglect spending time with God, when you begin to look back at the beginning of 2015 and say, I've missed one fundamental thing. I should have spent more time reading his word, getting soaked into it. And that's how God. So, I want to encourage you to keep reading the word of God. Spend time, read the Bible, pray. I mean, that's a fundamental thing. I remember when I was a little kid, we're taught that at school. Read your Bible, pray every day. You know, that was a little thing that, you know, we're taught at Sunday school. Read your Bible, pray every day. And the truth of that doesn't change. It remains the word back later on when you are an adult. Is that okay? Is reading the word of God a good idea?
Yeah.
I would urge you to keep doing that. Right, number three. Now, I'm going to speak to some of us who are older here, okay? Like me, for example. I still get up, you know, wonder as to what happened to my hair. Some old photo. I wanted to bring up a photo of me, but I thought, now I'm going to be shy. I used to have hair. When I met my wife, she fell in love with my hair. I'm wondering whether the love is still there, minus the hair. Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, he says, and the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, I trust to live people who would also be qualified to teach others. Now, I have a passion for young people. Okay, I live with two of them. One is 17, the other one is 14. I realize the importance of spending time with them, but also spending time with younger people. The things that we know about young people is that they're always aspiring for something bigger all the time. I bet, let me reflect back into my own life. When I was in grade 6, for example, I always wanted to be in grade 8, just to experience that excitement of being there. At the same time, once I was in grade 8, I wanted to be at college. That's where I want to be. You know, there's always an aspiration to get there. So, adults here amongst us, I just want to say this. If there are younger people who are surrounding you, know this. You are a role model to them. But it doesn't end there. I would urge you to spend time with someone younger. Make it a priority for yourself. Because this is an investment that you're making in their lives. I would ask and urge that you think about who are you going to spend time with in the city. Keep your eyes open for a younger person, a guy. If you're a guy, please look out for someone. Or if you're a girl, or a younger woman, or someone that you can say, God, I want you to find someone that I can look up to. Just as I do. As I'm standing here now, there is someone that I look up to. And similarly, that's a challenge I want to pose to you as you carry on in 2015 and say, in this year, who is God leading me to? Who am I going to invest my life? And think about many, many ways in which you could also invest the gospel and your life in them. And eventually you can show them how they can do the same for others, because it carries on all this is Paul is saying right through. And I'm saying this because there's so much work to be done. There is the kingdom of God continues to grow. And, you know, there's one generation and that generation moves on. And I'm sure that my kids probably have a way of describing me, especially when we have discussions. They probably say, he belongs to the old school. He's expired. He does not know what he's talking about. And so let's capture that. And then let's let them move on, because they need to capture what we're talking about at an early age. So if one of the things that you're wanting to do in this year is to spend time with a younger person, discipling them, encouraging them, and then passing on the baton to them. So if you are an older person scared of doing that, they're not going to unseat you. I'm not going to wake up one day and realize I'm no longer a father to my children. No, that remains. That's history. That's historical. That can never be changed. So someone younger than you needs you. Someone younger is asking questions, and the answers may be found within you. So that's my challenge to you. Number four, almost true. One of the things that I would like us to be careful and watchful for in 2015 is this thing called pride. And in some cases, competition within the body, within us in the church, okay, can be the better place of pride, where things can begin to happen, where we can feel, okay, what's going on here now? Why is there so much competition? You know, especially, I mean, we love to worship God, and sometimes we have a competition as to, okay, now, who's worshiping better than us? You know, whose hands are lifted higher than the other one? Okay, who looks really connected to God than the other? I don't know when I was at college, there used to be a chat there, it used to amaze me. So some of us would be singing and dancing, you know, as Africans. Music and song touches us, we move. And we used to move and dance, etc. And when everybody is dancing, you'll just stand like this. That's it. Nothing. No movement. And we began to think that maybe this guy, you know, does not feel what you are feeling. Okay? But God does not look at, you know, whether you dance or something like that. But he looks at the heart. He looks at what your commitment is to him. He looks at that. And sometimes we can think that, I've got it. I'm moving with God. You don't have it. I'm better than you. That's the beginning of pride. It can be dangerous. Now, the Bible says in James chapter 4, God opposes the proud. Now, that's enough to know that that pride is dangerous. And really, in fact, no one opposes God and survives. You cannot oppose God and still think that you will survive. God is calling us to be humble. For all of us this year, beginning 2015, it's a reminder that God wants us to be humble. And pride certainly can be an impediment to what God wants us to be. And when we humble ourselves in front of God, say, God, I am absolutely humble here. I just want to come to you. I don't know. Sometimes I get, you know, questions, and people come up with questions. People expect me to have answers. And it's such a humbling thing. Sometimes we don't have answers. And I glory to that. I actually do not have an answer to this. But let me encourage you. Put this differently. Let's be devoted one another in love. All of us, beginning in 2015, let's get devoted to this one. Let's honor one another above ourselves. The Bible says in Romans 12:10, it says, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourself. And I think that that's one of the things that God wants us to do for us, just ensuring that we want to have the best interest of someone else above everyone. And I think here at Farnham, God is going to bless you when you begin to say, God, what am I going to do this year? Even if you are not sure about some things, and you've got many, many questions, go to him and say, God, even someone who's younger, in fact, over the last 24, 48 hours, I've been asking some young people back at my church some questions because I'm totally blank about the subject going on at the moment. And I'm humbling myself. And the responses, they're laughing at me. Oh, don't you know this? Gee, where have you been? You know? And I'm humbling myself because I actually do not know. You can help me. So even if I'm older, I am teaching myself to continuously to be humble in this one. Lastly, this is what I want us to do at Farnham, to continue to preach the gospel as we plan and look into the year. In fact, if you have the Bibles, please can turn with me to Acts chapter 20. We're going to be reading from verse 19. 24. And I'm saying this because preaching the gospel continues to be our mandate that will not change. Now, Paul here, in fact, the writer here is recalling what was happening, just as things are happening. And then here is a reflection. Starting from verse 19, if I can. Paul says, I serve the Lord with great humility, with my tears. Although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews, you know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prisons and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus Christ has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of grace, of God's grace. Now, Paul is urging the Christians, Ephesians, he's almost bidding them farewell, and he's also not so sure when he's going to see them again. But the parting point that he gives them is, guys, continue to preach the gospel. Continue to declare and make the message of Christ the Savior, the one who saves people. My encouragement to you is that in this year, this mandate may not fall away, may not be forgotten, may not be something that we do. In fact, we don't exist except for the gospel, really. Whatever we do exists because we want people to get saved. And some of them say, but not all of us are called to be evangelists. I agree. I mean, here in front of you stands an evangelist. I'm passionate about that. That's my gift God has given me. But I know all of us sitting here can witness this and can carry the mandate forward. And I don't mean that you should all stand in the street corners and start shouting. No. But it's how we live, what we say, and how we proclaim that. Because people still need Christ in their lives and need to experience the gospel changing lives. And that's the reason why we exist. And if I could get hold of a mission statement, I'm sure the mission statement here would change. It's about being on the outlook and looking out for others. And clearly, you know, things like Alpha and various other things are happening. But it's all for, as Paul says it, for the fact that people must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Because people need to hear the word of God continually. And that's my challenge to you, and that's what I would really encourage us to do in all those 5 points. As we're going to pray now, I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit may empower us, may give us everything that we need as a church to face 2015 with excitement and vigor. You know, it's not as if 2015, you know, some people are actually worried about 2015 as to what's going to be happening. Some are worried, they're not so sure, they've got big question marks. Some people are fearful because it's either the year that's going to be bringing bad news to them. But God wants to change that altogether. That 2015 will become a year of good news, where suddenly your life changes just like that. So I pray now, God will make some of that to us. Just by our prayer. Father, we thank you this morning that indeed you, God, who's got the future, Lord, put together. So, Lord, even if we're scared and even if we're so sure what's going to be happening in our lives, you hold the future, Lord. We commit ourselves to you. We say, Lord, 2015 starts with you with everything in your hands. Lord, I also pray for those of us, Lord, inside this room this morning who are not sure where they stand with you. I pray, Lord, that you bring clarity, Lord. I pray that there would be people whose hearts would be open to you right now. I pray, Father, that you save people right at this moment, that you become God who is real, that God who is real in your lives, that they will be able to experience you beginning from now. Make yourself real, Lord. The people need you here right now. I pray that you take away anxiety, uncertainty, the fear. I pray that you replace that with clarity. Jesus, who is the Lord and Savior. I pray for each and every person who is here this morning to whisper and cover them. Take them forward. Let 2015 be a breakthrough year for someone here. Let this year, Lord, be a great time for all of us in this room. In Jesus' name, amen. So I say that you can make a decision now, right at the beginning of the year, to say, I want to follow Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Right? As the year starts, don't delay it and make it too late. Because you don't want to overtaken by 2016 still not knowing who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Thank you very much for this year.
Thank you, Sviwe. That's fantastic and inspirational for us. I think, Becky, can I just ask, would you and the band come up? Is that all right? I think we'll finish as we began, worshipping God as we head on into this new year.